A Walk on the Beach, written and narrated by Shirley Hyatt.
While the storm raged outside my window, the crazy stories I'd been told percolated in my mind like the plots of so many dime store novels. Honestly, they were so outlandish, how could anyone take them seriously? I decided they were nothing more than a plan cooked up by the natives to keep strangers from moving into their little stretch of paradise. They were selfish. They wanted it all to themselves. Besides, common sense said that people didn't just disappear in a wisp of fog. If they did go away, there had to be a perfectly normal explanation. As soon as there was a break in the weather, I determined to find it. After all, I was a good reporter, and I knew how to sort truth from fiction. In my room, I sat with an unread book open in my lap, my vision fixed on the rain streaming down the dark glass. For some reason, I was reminded of the words of the man who had barked at me when I questioned his bizarre story. "Look, lady, to say that stretch of sand's not haunted is to compare this matchstick to a redwood tree. Why, it's thick with stolen souls. Fact is, they went down there, but something got 'em, and they never came back." I didn't quite understand his analogy, and it was just another crazy answer to what happened to several people who had gone missing. They seemed to believe in an evil force field that some people had managed to escape. However, it left them without the ability to utter a single word. Really? Still, they insisted there was a black cliff that had been placed at the end of a beach as a barrier, a warning to stay away, and if people didn't take it seriously, they would suffer the consequences. Made me laugh. Still, it was my job to find the truth, and as soon as the weather cleared, I certainly would. Someone said the curse, or whatever it was, reached beyond the beach. Then a man on a crow's nest or at the helm of a ship could dissolve like a puff of smoke. Survivors escaped being pulled into a haze to find they had lost days, even weeks, of their lives. Some said they had witnessed the mist envelop a man and carry him out to sea. They heard moaning, followed by a silence so dense it made their ears ring and their teeth ache. I remembered the faces, the eyes wide with horror, as they raised their hands and swore to be relating the God's truth. I couldn't get it out of my mind. It was too fantastic to believe. I tried to pull myself into that picture by imagining it was I who was strolling to the end of that beach, stepping through that archway, to find another stretch of white sand, scattered with luminous tide pools. I would examine the colorful creatures clinging to the rocks, and then without any warning I would, what, simply disappear? The idea was ridiculous. But everyone who carried their version of whatever this thing was had agreed that if you went into what lay beyond the mysterious hole, you wouldn't live to tell it. There was no way to find the truth without putting myself in the actual scene. I thought of the great explorers who had cast rumors and horror stories aside to continue to follow their star. I was no great explorer, but I was determined to get to the bottom of this local mystery. It didn't look like anyone else would do it. At last, I awoke to a crystal clear day, the kind that often follows a major storm. The ocean was an endless sheet of glass reflecting a blue sky scrubbed bright and swept clear of clouds. It crossed my mind that on such a day to stay indoors would surely be a crime. So armed with a load of determination and good old-fashioned curiosity, I slipped into my rubber sandals, grabbed my walking stick, and headed out. I drove past the popular beaches with welcoming roadways and good parking, and took a sharp left turn at an unmarked narrow road that would end at the top of the cliff overlooking the infamous beach, where I would soon see for myself. I turned my car onto a flat spot, pulled on the brake, got out and breathed in air that was soft and warm and without a trace of wind. Looking down, I had to admit there was something magical about the pristine strip of white sand that appeared to end abruptly at a dark slab of rock. I had the odd sensation that it would be wrong to interject myself into the scene. Nevertheless, I had to see firsthand what these stories were all about. So grasping my walking stick, I started down past the pink ice plants and green ferns that clung to the side of the cliff until I reached the sand. I walked past caves etched into the tall cliff by a relentless tide that had deposited driftwood and crab shells and shiny bulbs of seaweed their long tails knotted in a mass of brown and olive green. My shoes left an imprint in the wet sand, a trail showing how far I had walked, and for a moment I thought of breadcrumbs and finding my way back from the black slab of rock just ahead. The opening looked like a giant eye staring back at me. My heart began to pound. As I understood it, when I got to the hole, I was to put my hands on either side of the slick, rocky surface and cast a prayer of safety into whatever lay beyond it. Then I must quickly get away. If I didn't, if I looked beyond, leaned in to see whatever there was to see, I might find another stretch of beautiful beach, possessed of a power that would draw me in, and then that would be the end of me. But whatever urge might overcome me, I was told that I must not give in and allow curiosity to overcome reason. According to the stories, those who had given in were never seen again. Those who had dared to go in search of those who had become lost had become one of the lost. I had refused to accept any truth in these stories without having made the trek to the hole to reason it out for myself, and now I was almost there. I stood for a moment with my eyes closed, drawing on my other senses to enlighten me about the source of an unusual sound. It was easy to identify the swishing of the lazy tide, dragging the fine pebbles up onto the beach and pulling them back again. Beneath my feet, I could feel the sea taking in another breath, letting it out. Nevertheless, I knew this particular sound wasn't the ocean talking. It was like whispers, the soft crying of people caught in some dreadful misery from which there was no mistake. Shivering, I told myself I had let my fertile imagination run away with me. There were no captive souls held prisoner in a ghost ship anchored just offshore or in some terrible invisible prison. So I spent a moment reminding myself that the mind is a curious and powerful thing, and where it finds mystery, it also demands answers. Once infused with a problem, it is easy for the mind to run toward the easiest solution. Honestly, without a satisfactory conclusion, this kind of thing can drive a person crazy. In truth, I began to question myself why I had been ignoring the thing that was so obvious that it was silly. I had felt it when taking my first step onto the beach, but had pretended not to understand it, that I was not alone. I was certain that I was being watched while believing it couldn't possibly be true, that it was all an illusion. Stopping, I turned around to observe the surf climbing up to erase my footsteps. It was like something unseen was trying to remove my failing grasp on reality one step at a time. "But that's impossible," I heard myself say aloud, while becoming aware of a fluttering inside my chest. "It wasn't fear," I insisted. I'd been walking fast, and that was why my heartbeat had increased. And it was my imagination that I was being watched, because I was truly all alone. Those tales of people disappearing were to blame for my anxiety, and it was clear to me that they amounted to nothing. They were nothing, and they meant nothing. I repeated this phrase inside my head until there I was, standing directly in front of the damp rock, with the hole that had evoked so many terrifying stories. "In for a penny, in for a pound," I whispered, and leaning forward, pressed my palms on either side of the opening. I realized I didn't have a prayer at the ready, but having performed the basic part of this ritual, I dropped my hands and quickly turned away to find a wisp of fog moving toward me. My breath caught. A finger of fear traced my spine. I began to run. I ran and ran until I felt overcome and fell to my knees in the surf. Something cold and wet was twisted around my neck. I felt my muscles give way as the tide rolled over me. "Hey, hey, that tide's pretty strong," I heard the voice nearby as the water swirled around me. His words seemed to break the spell, and I sat up, coughing and blinking the water from my eyes. "I thought that tide might be going to take you out," he said, offering his hand to pull me to my feet. "I'm sorry to startle you, but I just thought maybe you... Looking into his face, I realized he believed I meant to drown myself. The idea brought me to my senses. "No, no," I explained. "I'm sorry to have worried you. You see, I saw a piece of something, a bit of jade or something that looked precious. The tide kept picking it up and carrying it away before I could get my fingers on it. You see, I thought it might rise to the surface, but, well, it looks like the sea got to keep it after all. I'm sorry to have caused you any concern." The lies had slipped out easily, but how could I tell him the truth, that he had saved me from a force that had seemed intent on pulling me into the ocean? I worked up a smile. "I'm Tracy. You must be new here," I said. "I am new here. I'm a journalist, on assignment, actually." I swallowed hard before I replied and cleared my throat a couple of times. "I can't think what you'd find to write about in a little place like this." I laughed, thinking the last thing in the world I would do was to tell him the truth. "Well," he said, "the truth is I'm here to investigate the disappearance of quite a few people who were last seen in this area. Word is they simply disappeared." "Sounds crazy, but that's the kind of stuff that interests me." He smiled, and I thought how innocent he was. "How about you? Are you interested in mysteries?" "Not in the least," I said. "The fact is that the sun finally came out, and I needed a walk on the beach. Good luck with your mysteries." Walking away, I found the trail up the cliff and didn't once look back. The end.